All right, we'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in this this lesson for this training school. Father Yah, we just acknowledge you first of all, acknowledge your Son, and acknowledge the leading of your Spirit. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We declare that everything that you reveal to us, we will put it into action. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. I've had some treatment today, so if I start, doing a bunch of coughing, I'm realizing that's what it stems from. Each time I get some treatment, for some reason it dries out my throat and I cough quite a bit afterwards. So just had it today. So I started coughing. Y'all just bear with me and pray for me. Amen. I have been I have been doing some writings about some things that we've obviously discussed in our lessons, and the reason why is because there is I have this burden and I believe that it is a righteous burden, and because of that, I want y'all to take on the same righteous burden. I have made a commitment to the kingdom of our God, in that I'm choosing, regardless what is said and how it appears to be, I'm choosing to stick with the word. And you get people that talk about the revelation of the word, and you get people that talk about there are hidden things in the scriptures that has to be revealed. In other words, what they mean is you can't actually read it for it to be revealed. There has to be some type of mysterious leading of the Spirit that gives insight into the scriptures, although the scriptures does not confirm that revelation. Now, what a revelation is basically a disclosure of the truth, and my commitment to the kingdom of Yah is that I refuse to accept that there is a revelation, a disclosure of truth apart from the written word. And for generations, preachers have come up with doctrines and teachings and different things that they call revelation, and it does not it cannot be confirmed or disclosed as truth according to the scriptures. My mind is made up that I will not add to the scriptures nor take away from the scriptures. And my mindset is to make a commitment to understand the scriptures from the revealing, the revelation, the exposure of the truth. And and my reason for doing so is because the scriptures itself talks about this mindset of men. When I say men, I'm not talking about just male. I'm talking about male and female, mankind. The scripture talks about the mentality of mankind in reference to doing these things, coming up with revelations and misguiding the people who have sincerely been won over into the kingdom of God through their faith in the redemptive work of Christ. A lot of these people have been exposed to these revelations of men, mankind. And it has damaged the church. It has caused people to stop going to church. They don't have no faith in how the church functions, and I mean, it's just a lot of things going on where people have this lack of trust when it comes down to the church. When you look at how churches are structured according to this world, we know that we're here for the purpose of the kingdom of Yah, but the world looks at us just as another business. And when you look at the legal structure of it, it is as a business. Whereas if you have a person who is incorporated or have a 501c3, I get a lot of Israelite brothers that'll be talking about, you don't want a 501c3 and you don't want to be incorporated and all that, because then, they said the government can come in and control you. I'd be like, man, the government can come in your church even if you don't have that. They can seize your records. They can come in without you being set up like that. The only difference is when they come in like that, if they find a problem, you are held liable personally. Instead of being under a corporation, they can't hold you liable personally. They have to go out to the corporation. I said, so there are certain props and benefits and stuff like that. But I said that to say this. The reason why, or when you look at businesses as a whole, and if you talk to enough people and you say to them, give me the top five, I'm just saying top five, give me the top five businesses that that has a bunch of crooks associated with it, and I guarantee you in that top five will be the church. I have to admit, you know, I grew up in Honey Grove, and my pastor at the time was F.T. Pratt. And in growing up at the church, there was a lot of things that I wasn't exposed to. Because I had a pastor whose motivation wasn't money, you know, whose motivation wasn't preaching on the tithes. None of those things was his motivation, and people gave on a weekly basis and things like that, but his motivation wasn't on things that I was exposed to. When I moved to Dallas and started going to churches here in Dallas, and then ended up joining a church here in Dallas. And I remember the first thing that they taught us, they separated us, put me in the beginner class. And I ain't had a clue about much of nothing. So they put me in the beginner class, and then after the beginner class, we would have the main service. Well, in the beginner class, the first thing they were teaching on was the tithe. And it scared me to death. Because, you know, I was sitting there and didn't know nothing about the word, had very little understanding. And when I heard them say, if you don't pay your tithe, you're cursed. I lived in walking distance from the church, and I never forget it, man. I walked home, you know, shoulders all shrugged down and head down, and I was like, man, I said, my family is cursed because I ain't been giving no tithe. You know, I went home, and then I had just had Haya. And I went home and I walked in the house. I told Deanna, I said, Deanna, we cursed. And she's like, what you talking about? I said, we ain't tithing, we cursed. And so that began this road of all of this misinformation. All these steps and rules and regulations and points on how to do things and seven ways to get your prayers answered, six ways on how to have financial freedom, and five steps to, you know, I mean, just all kinds of steps and stuff like that. And so, you know, I grew up during that period of time trying to implement all of these steps. I guarantee everybody who's listened to me probably one time or another either have done it or heard about it. The faith board, where you put all your pictures of all the stuff on you, on your board, and you just believe Yah for all this stuff. Well, when I look back on it, everything was just carnal. Houses, cars, money, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But now, as I said, I made a righteous commitment, and I hope and pray that you do the same, to stick with the word. And if the word doesn't reveal it, we can't teach it. If the word doesn't clearly say it, we can't turn around and say, well, it seems like that's what it's saying. If there is something in the scriptures that say it, and just using this for example, if something in the scripture is said and Yah doesn't give an explanation of why he said it, it ain't our business. All we know is he said it. Well, why he said it, that ain't none of my business. Because if it was, he would have said, he would have said why he said it. He would have said why he said it. So we have to make a commitment to stick with the word. And because we're so accustomed to certain things, if we're not careful, we can easily allow our minds to interfere with what the scripture is really saying to us. And so I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to just use this book just as an example of, as example to show, although some things may be appearing to say something else, we still must be bound to the scripture and stick with what we know is saying, and not allow the appearing to be saying something else to cause us to then implement something in that passage that is not saying. Stay committed to the scriptures. Stay committed to the scriptures. I can't say nothing else. Stay committed to the scriptures. Don't allow, we can't allow our minds to get outside the scriptures. Stay within the boundaries of the pages. Stay within the boundaries of the scriptures. That is the safest place to be in rightly dividing the word of truth. Stick with the scriptures. I don't care what it's looking like. Stick with the scriptures. And if you can't explain it beyond, if you can't explain it with the scriptures, and it caused you to have to explain it beyond the scriptures, no. Stick with the scriptures. If you can't explain it beyond the scriptures, then stop right there. Stay right there. Let that be your only explanation. Well, it appears to be saying this. I'm not into the appearance. This is what it says. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away. I don't care what it gives the impression that it is saying. I'm going to stay with the scriptures. All right. And I like this book because it gives a real good example of this. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Now, when we look at verse 1, it is clear, it is clear that he's speaking of a former time and a present time. Peter's doing the talking. So Peter is an apostle to the Jew, to the nation of Israel. So when he says among the people, he's talking about Israel. But there were false prophets among Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, saints, current day, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Heresies, basically in a nutshell, we look at the definition, is false teaching, apostasy. Okay. Disunion. Go back. Says to take for oneself, to prefer or choose. Basically talks about obsolete, so that's why I said false teaching. Okay. And so it says down to the heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. So when we look at it according to both examples, when Moses went up into that mountain and was there 40 days, 40 nights, I believe, with Yah, the scripture says that Israel rose up to play. And and when Moses came back down, there were some things that that took place in order to bring swift judgment down upon those who were disobedient, along with the false prophets who led them astray. Okay, now again, verse 1 said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's why we don't. Well, let's deal with the word pernicious ways. It says ruin, destruction. Basically, wasteful, destructive ways. So, what Peter is letting us know is that, you know, and I believe Matthew 7 says the same thing. Broad is the way, and why is the path that lead to destruction? May it be the going thereat. It talked about the narrow way. not many people find the narrow way. Not many people are going to come into the knowledge of the revelation of the scriptures. They're not going to see the truth. And the reason why is because of who they follow. You got many people who are following the destructive ways of false teachers. Then it goes on and said, by reason of whom, verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I've explained, we've had these two lessons, and I explained to a lot of people, for example, who Satan is. I've also explained to a lot of people who Lucifer is. But when I share the truth according to the scriptures, that truth is evil spoken of. Because you have in these passages where people will say, well, that scripture starts out talking about Nebuchadnezzar in Isaiah 14. But then when it starts to talk about Lucifer, what is taking place is the scripture then starts to reveal that God is talking to Satan. Thus, Satan is Lucifer. And my response to that is, I find it interesting that you can metaphorically, because the scripture says, take up a proverb about the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. So I tell him, I said, I find it interesting that you can take up a proverb about Lucifer in this passage, being a devil, but yet you refuse to accept it as a metaphorical proverb concerning Nebuchadnezzar, and the Bible says that's who it's talking to. Same thing with Satan. You will get people who will say Satan, when Christ said to get thee behind me, Satan, that he wasn't talking to Peter. Preachers preach this. It's a popular message. Well-known preachers preach it. Unknown preachers preach it. It's a popular message. They'll say he wasn't talking to Peter. He was actually talking to the devil when he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And I find it interesting that people can come up with that conclusion when the Bible clearly said, and he said unto Peter. So they completely overlook that truth in order to add in an imaginary fable that has nothing to do with the scripture. Thus, when they add that in, that is the scripture being fulfilled in verse 2, where it says the way of the truth is evil spoken of. If mankind said that Yehoshua, Jesus, was talking to the actual devil, as in the devil, then that is someone that you're listening to that's evil speaking concerning the truth. And I have to say that I want to be very careful, very careful, and I'm proud for that. I don't do that. Some do it intentional, some do it unintentional. But my mindset is, whether it's intentional or unintentional, my goal is to make sure that I don't speak evil of the written word. I don't speak evil of the truth by adding my own fable to what's written in the scriptures. Can't say it enough. I am committed to staying bound to the scriptures. And if I'm going to accept what anyone says as the truth, it has to be according to the scriptures. And people have got accustomed to just accepting something as true because it came out of the mouth of the preacher. When my pastor said, In the Bible, it said cleanliness is next to godliness. That's what my pastor said. It's in the Bible. Is it really? Has your pastor ever showed you that in the Bible? Be careful when you are listening to a preacher of the gospel, and all he's doing is quoting words. And the Bible said, and he quoted. I tell you the truth, you will never see me quote any scripture that either we're not, you know, that either we're, you know, if I quote it, we're looking at it, or we can go look at it. That's the commitment we got to make. Okay? Verse 3 says, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words, false words, destructive words, make merchandise of you. What is merchandise? Trade, sale. Most churches look at its members as merchandise. In other words, their mindset is the sole reason for wanting you to be a part of the church is not to feed you the word where you can grow thereby, but to merchandise you to feed that beast, to prosper that business and so. The congregation is always propped up is always propped up to take from them. Even when there's no need. Make merchandise of you whose judgment now of a long time lingeth not, and their damnable and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, here's the verse that causes people's minds to wonder. But I encourage you to stick with the scriptures. Verse 4 says, for if Yah spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Well, I want to deal with the word chains of darkness first. Chains of darkness. So when people read chains of darkness, they actually think, or the teaching goes, is that there are angels, fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, who sin, that are bound in hell in chains. No, the darkness is chains. It says chains chains of darkness. So the word change is a bondage. So Yah said, the scripture said, if Yah spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into bondage of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, as I mentioned, this is when people's minds start to wander, because they then start to say, well, see, angels sin, and because they sin, they was put in chains of darkness, so they bound in chains in hell until their day of judgment. That's what imagination says. But when you're bound to the scriptures, you have to be able to not allow your mind to be stretched into imagination, into an imagination, because we see the word angels. Because when we look at it here, angels says messenger, a messenger. It also said especially an angel, because an actual angel is a messenger. So we have to allow the text to give us an understanding of what is being referred to as angels. Is it the angels of Yah, or is it a pastor? Which angel is it? Now, we have to look for the answer in the scriptures. And I have not read anywhere in the Bible where Yah said in his word that angels were once righteous, but they rebelled in sin. But when I stay within the boundaries of the scriptures, and I stay disciplined, that's what I mean by within the boundaries of the scriptures. When I allow the scriptures to keep me disciplined, then now I understand that in verse 1 is referring to false prophets and false teachers, who indeed are messengers. And what the scripture says concerning these false prophets and false teachers, according to verse 1, that they bring upon themselves swift destruction. So what is that destruction? What is the destruction of a false prophet and a false teacher? Well, I can't now go look it up in the ceiling, because if any of y'all start looking up in the ceiling when I said that, you just starting to get outside the boundaries of the scriptures. So in order for me to understand the destruction of a false prophet and a false teacher, I have to stay within the scriptures. That is my discipline. Verse 2, and many shall follow after their pernicious ways. Who are these false teachers and these false prophets? Well, specifically speaking about false teachers now, because the false prophet was among the people, Israel. So false teachers. Many shall follow in their pernicious ways, by reason of the way of truth shall be even spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So where are they going? Verse 4, it said, for if God spared not the messengers that sinned, if he didn't spare the false prophets, if he didn't spare the false teachers who were messengers to the people that led them astray, if y'all didn't spare them, if he didn't spare the messengers that was evil speaking of the truth, for if y'all spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. Every false prophet and false teacher that perverted the truth and led people astray, their damnation is the chain of darkness. We who are in this position to teach the scriptures, and if we lead people away, astray, then the damnation upon us has a more serious consequences, because we're carrying the message to the people. Lazarus died, and so did the rich man. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, he was in bondage in hell for his deeds that he did here on earth. So verse 4 said, for if Yah spared not the angels that sin, the messengers, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness. The darkness is the chains. Bondage of darkness to be reserved under judgment. Then he goes on with the list and spared not the old world. Let's just go back and look at all the evil things that Yah didn't spare. In order for you to understand, or for us to understand, that false teachers ain't gonna get away with this. There's a damnable judgment reserved for them. That's why we have to make sure that we stay bound to the scripture and to teach the scripture according to how it's written. Because if we don't, chains of darkness is reserved for us. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid to lead people astray. Before I started preaching, that was my biggest concern. I said, Lord, just don't let me teach the people wrong. Let me teach them the truth. If you don't bless me to be able to teach them the truth, I said to Yah, if you don't bless me to be able to teach them the truth, I'm not going to do this. I don't want somebody's life to be damnable because of my teaching. I don't want nobody to be on the wide path because of my teaching. I don't want nobody to be on the broad way because of my teaching. That's vitally important to me. And that importance causes me to stay bound to the scriptures. And I will not go outside it to explain angels any other way than to stay in the text. I ain't finna take you to Genesis chapter 6 and start talking about the sons of God were angels. Ain't nobody told me that. I'm not imagining the scriptures nowhere. So if the scripture starts out talking about false prophets and false teachers, then I have no conclusion but to I have no other alternative but to come to the conclusion that these angels are one and the same type of teachers, messengers who are teaching false doctrine. I ain't gonna start saying that. See, this is when angels had sex with women and they left their first state. We'll go to Jude even. Verse 5. And Spartan. Let me drink some of that. Throw this dry. Verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. What's a preacher? Good news, messenger. Bring it in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Judgment. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Yah is saying, I want you to look at these false prophets and these false teachers, preachers, and understand that I got them reserved in chains of darkness. And let that be an example to you now, preacher, that you have to teach the truth or you going down the same road. I ain't gonna be able to do it. Help me, Lord. There's a boat coming by, so to speak, and I don't plan to miss it. Verse 7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation. Conversation is not just in what you say, it's what you do. How's your conversation? Get a lot of people who talk righteousness, but do they do righteousness? They talk a good game, but do they actually do it? Vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's conduct, behavior, conversation. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Angels, y'all letting all the false teachers know your judgment coming. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, I did this and I did that. I did this in your name. I cast out devils. I did all these wonderful works. And Christ will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You right here leading the people astray. Had them on a wide path of destruction. You had my people cornered. And all they could do was think about how much money they was going to have. And how much bigger house they was going to get. And what kind of car they was going to drive. And that's all you put into the minds of the people. Now look at what verse 10 says. I'm going to read verse 9, then I'm going to read verse 10. Because verse 10 really speaks volumes to this thing. Verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. : but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, now this is talking about actual angels, and you can see the difference. It says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring no railing accusation against them before the Lord. You're looking at two types of angels here. You're looking at an angel that is a messenger. I am, according to the scripture, an angel. I'm a messenger. I bring the message of the kingdom of our God in Christ. So I'm an angel. A pastor. But it goes on and say, letting us know that there's a difference. Verse 12, but these, who are these? These false teachers and things, these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. We'll look at Jude now. I'll start wrapping this thing up. See what verse I want to start up. We're going to start verse 1. Jude 1. And we'll stop after this. It says, Jude, the servant of Yahushua Mashiach, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by Yah the Father, and preserved in Yahushua Mashiach, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. If you notice, Jude starts to talk about the same thing as Peter. He says, again, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old. What Peter said, the false prophets of old. So when we stay bound to the scripture, we have understanding that Jude is referring to false teachers here. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Yah into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord Yah, and our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believe not. Why? Because some false prophets. Peter addressed it. And it goes on to say, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of that great day. Now you get some people who will take that and start saying, see, angels was once righteous, then they start sleeping with the women, and they left their first estate, they reserved in chain unto judgment day. That ain't what they're saying. When we stay within the contextual meaning of the passage and stay bound to the scripture always shows an association with false prophets and angels being chained in chains of darkness. So I refuse to now start adding fallen angels into that passage, because the scripture does not reveal that to me. I know there are two books, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude 1, that are pretty much saying the same thing, and both of them are talking about men. And even when you bring it up to date, I can attest, I've seen it myself, where you had men who started out who started out teaching the people the sincere word of truth. That's all he was concerned about. I'm even comfortable saying the majority of us preachers started out that way. But during one time or another, a lot of us left our first estate, which is to teach the truth. We left off from delivering the message of Yah and Christ to the saints. And we started coming up with our own doctrines. We stopped teaching people how to contend for the faith and start now putting it in their mindset to contend for other stuff. The church is always contending for other stuff. Contend for the faith. And still we have a lot of men and women who have left their first estate and caused people to turn away from the grace of our God and led them into lasciviousness. Even to the point to where you don't even hear about God or Christ in their messages. They'll walk up there and teach you an hour message on how to just be happy. Just be happy and get along, and you know, and God want to bless you, and have turned the message of salvation into lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Then I'm close. Filthy. Scripture points out that anytime anytime we come to church, and we are led into a bunch of messages that has to do with carnal things and things that has nothing to do with causing us to grow in the kingdom and come into a better knowledge of the Father and the Son by the leading of the Spirit. And we're showing up for anything other than that, we're just operating in filth. Lasciviousness. And we operate that way is because in reality we have denied the Father and the Son. My goal as I close is to stay bound to the scripture, Stay bound to the scriptures. Stay within the meaning of the scripture. And do it at such a perfection that it causes you to love your God more and more and His Christ more and more, and that it causes you to be led by the Spirit more and more. Every time I teach you a message, whether I'm rebuking you, whether I'm exhorting you, chastisement, instructions, whichever way you look at it, it is all designed that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit be glorified. Even when I'm coming at you tough, there's a love there that wants you to stand up and be all that you can be for Yah. And so take this lesson tonight and take it at heart and be very serious about it. And remember the rule. Anytime somebody is talking about the things of the kingdom outside the scriptures or what the scriptures are actually saying, chances are very high that we're listening to a false teacher. Whether they intend to do it or not. Whether they're aware of it or not. You have to be aware when you're being led astray. And when you see that you're being led astray, contend for the faith. Stand your ground. All right, I'm finished. Any questions, comments? I'll go ahead and close here. Father, we declare to you that we will contend for the faith, and we are committed to staying within the boundaries of your scriptures. If you're not revealing to us truth, then we refuse to classify it as the truth. But you gave us your word to learn and to understand your ways. And we are committed as a ministry in doing just that. Bless us to see the truth within the boundaries of our commitment. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.